absolutely love a bit of Squeeze. That's a great song. So it's 26 minutes past one here on Vectors Radio, and as promised, we have our first two guests from the Isle of Wight Carers Conference. Delighted to welcome Anne Hinton and Derek Norton into the studio. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully you're not missing too much. Has lunch finished in there now? They're on to the afternoon proceedings.
Yes, they've just started again.
Yeah, fantastic. So what we wanted to hear about first was why it's so important to have this conference. So what do you think?
I think it's important because it brings to the attention of more and more people just how much unpaid carers do for their particular loved ones, whether it be dementia patients or other disabilities, and to have the opportunity to speak to people at the top of the social care system is very useful to some of the carers, because we've had some good questions come through this morning to those who volunteered their time to talk to the rest of us.
Yeah, so the conference is made up of carers, unpaid carers, so we're, as we say, husbands, wives, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, could be anybody, couldn't it? People who are just looking after often a family member or a friend.
Yes, basically, I think most of the people there today are looking after family members, husbands or elderly parents. There are some couples here because they have a child that is not a child as such, but maybe in their 20s, 30s with mental health issues. It covers everything, really, where your job is to be a full-time carer for somebody.
Yeah, and that can creep up on you, can't it, quite slowly sometimes. And for others, it comes on you very quickly because of some sort of crisis or something.
Yes, you don't volunteer to be a carer.
No.
You make it up as you go along in many ways, because it's... although you can read all the books and you can go to the training, when you're up at the coalface, so to speak, it can be quite different and challenging, very
absolutely,
much so.
Absolutely,
because you're dealing with somebody that you love. In my case, it was for 36 years. And therefore, it's tricky.
Yeah, you've definitely earned your stripes for this,
yeah.
For sure.
Well, I didn't care for 36 years, no.
Now, you mentioned professionals. So what sort of people have joined you today?
We've got people from Adult Social Services. We've had people from Wight Care demonstrating the sorts of apparatus that people can link into. We've had Health Watch, and they act as an independent body. And they listen to what the carers have got to say and what their needs are, and can translate that back to then the officials who have to listen to what they're saying.
Absolutely. Because obviously, I mean, I think, let's be honest, without unpaid carers, social services, the demand would grow beyond all imagination, wouldn't it?
I think it would just completely collapse. Yeah. Apparently, during the information from the last census, 19,000 people on the island put down that they were a carer for another person.
Which is about 15% of the population of the Isle of Wight, if I've got my maths right there. So it is a phenomenal amount of people.
Yeah.
And as you say, they might be caring for young children, they might be caring for elderly relatives, or someone who's got a lifelong health condition that is going to need that care. So absolutely vital. So what's been the highlight so far of the conference for you?
I think we're going to talk about a bit of that later, but I think it's seeing all the carers there, some people for the first time getting involved and meeting other carers, and actually feeling for once they're not doing it alone.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that's so, so important, because it can be very isolating, can't it? Because if you've got to think about somebody else stepping into care just so you can leave the house, that makes life very, very challenging, doesn't it?
It's also sharing tips and advice and everything else as well. You know, everyone's got a different take on experiences, and some people haven't been through that yet, or they're going through it at the time. So it's sharing the knowledge as well. So
many questions about respite. And whether the respite should be for the person that you care for, or for you, for the carer themselves.
I guess sometimes both.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, even just every day, if you go down with a heavy cold, you probably shouldn't be caring, A, because you don't feel great, but B, because you don't want to be giving it to the person you're caring for.
Indeed.
So, I've earned a little stripe myself in the past caring for my father, so I do appreciate the situation that, you know, it is... I very much found, you know, obviously it's what I wanted to do, to be there for my dad. But, yeah, it was hard. We both found it hard. Because sometimes the last person you want to listen to is your, you know, your family member, your daughter, your wife or whatever, telling you you've got to take this medication or you've got to do this. The psychological impact is quite heavy as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
And not a lot of sleep sometimes.
I think one of the big things I've always said to other carers, having gone through the situation myself, is if somebody offers you help, and generally speaking, we all offer help. Oh, just ring me up, just come round, or whatever I can do to help you. But there's lots of people have to learn the very fundamental thing of actually going back to that person and saying, I do need help now. Yeah. You offered it me a fortnight ago. I could do with help now. It's not something we do naturally. We offer to help other people, but we don't naturally accept help back.
Yeah,
I think that's so true, because we're very good at saying, oh, no, I'm fine.
Yes.
But that's the key, isn't it, to ask somebody, actually, are you fine? Yes. And how could I help? Yeah. You know, even if it's coming in and cooking your dinner one night. I think I hit the spot
A friend's done that for me. My husband was recently in hospital, and she said, what time are you leaving hospital? And I told her the time, and she said, right, I'll have the dinner on the table, come round to me. And literally, as I walked through the door, she got the dinner there, and then she said, I'll give you a cup of tea now, and then you go. Because actually what she knew I wanted after 10 hours in hospital, I wanted to go home to bed.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's the very good friend.
Yeah. So someone who helps, maybe gets the laundry on for you, cooks some food, picks up some shopping, or actually just comes and sits with your loved one so you can get that dental appointment that you've been trying to get for 6 months or whatever it might be. Yeah. So, so all of that and more today in the conference.
Indeed.
But also hearing what's on the agenda this afternoon, what have you got to look forward to?
We've got continuing health care, I understand, which is a huge question for a lot of people, because obviously that deals with finance, and none of us are that rich. We can fund it for a huge amount of time. We've got to we're hearing from there's a video of one of the carers talking about her experience when she went to hospital, and I also believe that I'm making a sound track of some of the things that I came up against. And what else have we got?
I think there's something on movement, actually.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so handling. Which, again, is something that people encounter often for the first time and can do themselves as much damage as not. So, all very, very important stuff.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. We'll leave it there for now, but you're going to come back and join us this time in an hour. And very much looking forward to that, because I believe there's been a film shown today, and we won't give it away now, but I'm really looking forward to hearing about that, because I think it sounds absolutely amazing. So we'll let you get back so you don't
thank
miss
you.
Any more.
Thank you.
And thank you so much. Speak to you in a little while. Right, we're going to have some more music now. And you.
This is Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Too bad. Now, in this hour, we were going to talk about a film that was shown this morning. So it's the story of Ben and his family. So could you tell us what it was about?
Yes, Ben had made the film, and it was about how his parents coped with how his father had multiple sclerosis, and their story really of what their life was truly like on a day-to-day basis, how it had affected his father, who began to feel he was a burden, and his mother, who had become his full-time carer rather than his wife, and how it also affected the two boys as well, looking in and seeing how their parents were coping with it. And I think it was a really powerful film, because it was sad, it needed the story to be told, but they said, live each day as each day, and you can still find something to enjoy in each day.
So how old were the boys when the story started? Were they still children or young adults?
Young adults, I think.
Yes, they'd be young adults, yes.
So at a time when, you know, parents should still be quite active and doing things, and, you know, as a family being able to do that. And obviously MS is something that can come on slowly, gradually, and then symptoms can come and go, can't they, and can fluctuate.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
And he, in his film, he brought this over very well. The thing that came over to me was the fact that his father thought he was guilty in a way of having to let his wife be a carer for him. You know, he obviously he didn't want to get that particular condition, but he did. But his wife was quite sort of resigned to the fact, and because they loved each other. And one particular little shot they showed, he had a little mobility scooter, and the two of them were riding it together, and she was behind him, you know, with her arms out, and they both had smiles on their faces.
Absolutely.
And that was lovely. And at one stage he filmed them embracing each other, and that was really a moving point.
Yeah,
you know,
I can imagine lots of sort of gulps of
tear ran down my face.
Absolutely,
it was just a very moving film.
So I think, I mean, picking up on the messages in that, that very much even in the darkest of times there is joy to be found in every day, in the smallest things. And I think all too often when somebody's living with a long-term condition, there's very much a focus on, well, what's going to happen, what's the future look like? The answer is none of us really know for sure. And actually finding in the here and now, today, what's good today is so, so important to hang on to that, both for the person caring and the person who's unwell, I would imagine.
Yeah, you have to remember these moments of joy. Sometimes they get forgotten.
Yeah.
And that sometimes they can be quite simple little things that happen.
Mm.
But if you put them all together as a carer, they will help you to get through some of the worst times.
And finding the humour.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, we often find the sort of humour in something that can be quite dark, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
I can think of a situation, and it, you don't feel you're laughing at them, but you're laughing at the situation that's happened, and it's extraordinary how you can still laugh, and yet you feel like crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that came over in the film was his wife, how lonely it was, being in the situation she was, because he was to a degree housebound for a lot of the time.
Well, with those kind of things, life becomes so serious, and you have to obviously focus on so much stuff. When it comes round to it, just to have a bit of a sense of humour sometimes. It's only human, isn't it? And it just it helps actually get you through life. I have to watch something funny before I go to bed, you know. It keeps that kind of thing going.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
And I think, you know, life gets very difficult to plan, doesn't it? Because you don't know necessarily one day to the next how somebody's going to be, you know, something that might be very much looked forward to, like a family occasion, and then you just can't go
on
that particular day. Yeah.
You just can't do it. I think it's we're all on a journey, and we just don't know what sort of journey that is.
Yeah.
It's just a different chapter in your life book that you didn't expect to be playing a part in.
And I think picking up on a point you made, which I very much agree with, is the relationship you have. So whether you are husband and wife, father, daughter, whatever that relationship in the caring role is, remembering that role, that actually don't lose sight of the fact that that is still, you know, your dad that you're looking after, not just someone you're caring for. And that's so, so important. And I know from my perspective, when I finally said yes to the help, that allowed me to refine that relationship.
Yes.
Which is really important.
That's what they say. Yeah. I had a situation where somebody I knew not that long ago, when my husband's in care, and he doesn't really, well, he doesn't recognise me now. And she said, "Why do you bother going if he doesn't recognise you?" And I thought, "You haven't a clue." And I said,
"It doesn't work like that.
He's still my husband, and I love him dearly.
And you still recognise him.
I still recognise him, and I enjoy the time I spend with him. It's just not the man I married, but." Neither am I the woman he married.
Yeah.
And also, I think very important, because I actually, the clients I work with have dementia, and very important to remember that emotion is always with you. So yes, you might not be able to name someone or recognise them, but you know you love them. Mm. So that is always there, absolutely vital.
Ooh. One thing Ben did say at the end of the film was that he'd entered it for an award for a documentary. And the reason why it didn't go forward to the next round was because they really wanted a story with a happy ending. And they felt that was a negative ending. And yet all the people I have spoken to today, and the general consensus of opinion from the comments that were coming out from the floor, was, yes, it's a sad story that you've told, but actually we see a positive situation out of it. It's for real. Yeah. That is life.
Fortunately, life doesn't have happy endings all the time, does it?
And this is people that have lived it as well themselves and can reflect on it.
Yes, and we get it.
We get
it totally.
Which is actually what makes something like that so good and so strong. So
it's to get that message out to other people.
Yeah.
That it doesn't all have to be doom and gloom and doesn't have to be a happy ending, but you can still have fun on the way.
Yeah. And that you are not alone. And on that note, I would really like us to wrap up just to say, if anyone is listening and this is affecting them or somebody they know, how do they get hold of Carers Isle of Wight?
They're at the Riverside.
Yep, so the number is...
The number is 533173.
Or they have got a Facebook presence and also a website. So if any of that is resonating with you and you'd like help, it's there. You've just got to come forward and get in touch.
They are amazing.
They really are.
Do not be alone.
No. And they can offer not just the emotional support, but lots of very practical support as well.
The training programme is excellent.
Yeah, fantastic.
If you haven't reached out, reach out.
Yeah, yes, that's the
indeed.
Message.
Absolutely.
Right, well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. I'm sure we haven't got longer to talk, but I don't want to keep you from the conference any longer because I'm sure you're missing lots of other really good stuff. So we are going to have...